The house will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Here. Barlow. Here. Berger excused. Blake. Here. Blevins. Here. Blickery. Here. Brown. Here. Burkhart excused. Bird. Here. Campbell. Here. Kennedy. Here. Coleman. Here. Connolly. Here. Davison. Here. Eklund. Here. Esquibel excused. Here. Oh, Esquibel here. Sorry. Filer. Here. Freeman. Here. Gay. Here. Gingery. Here. Goggles. Here. Greer. Here. Green. Here. Halverson. Here. Harshman. Harshman excused. Harvey. Here. Hunt. Here. Hutchings. Yagi, Kasparik, Kirkbride, here. Croker, here. Crone, here. Larson, here. Lockhart, excuse. Lockhart excused, Laux, here. Madden, here. McKim, here. Miller, here. Moniz excused, Nicholas excused, Northrup, here. Patton, here. Paxton, here. Petroff, Pieperinen, Reeder, Semlick, Summers, here. Stubson excused, Teeters, here. Throne, here. Wallace excused, Walters, here. Watt, here. Wilson, here. Winters, here. Swanitzer Dan, here. Swanitzer Dave, here. Mr. Speaker,
here.
52 present, 8 excused.
The prayer of today will be offered by Reverend Bob Girard, representing the First Presbyterian Church, Cheyenne.
It's been an honor to pray with you this week. Let us pray again. Lord God, we're thankful for the day we call Friday. May this be a day of radiant gladness, a day of joy and light for the representatives gathered here as the week winds down. Supply them with extra energy to labor for the common good, to resolve what seems unresolvable, and to celebrate what has been accomplished. For their own health and well-being, we lift them up to your tender care. For what is left undone, let them not be anxious, but may they know the peace that passes all understanding as they take some time off to recharge. May ideas and solutions from you flow into their quieted minds to help them in the next week. We praise you for the support staff and volunteers that are so vital to the flow of this assembly. Guide safely all those who travel home and back here again. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Pledge of Allegiance is to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Play ball!
Thank you.
Write that order of business of Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 17, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed by Representatives Filer and Winters.
Our doctor of the day today is Dr. Dean Bartholomew, MD, from Saratoga, Wyoming. Welcome to the House. We're at that order of business of wishing Representative McKim a very happy birthday. That order of business of introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The
Mr.
first
Speaker.
Bill for our consideration is House Bill 193.
House Bill number 193, introduced by Representative Gay.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to domestic relations.
House Bill 193 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 197.
House Bill number 197, introduced by Representative Brown.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to decedent's estates.
House Bill 197 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 4.
House Joint Resolution 4, introduced by Representative Gay.
First reading of the bill.
A joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to require courts in this state to rely on federal and state laws.
House Joint Resolution 4 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 180.
House Bill Number 180, introduced by Representative Yeagy.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to state budgets.
House Bill 180 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 45.
House Bill Number 45, introduced by Representative Madden.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to a fireman's pension program.
House Bill 45 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 195.
House Bill Number 195, introduced by Representative Kirkbride.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to taxation.
House Bill 195 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 196.
House Bill Number 196, introduced by Representative Petroff.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to sales and use tax.
House Bill 196 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. Ladies and gentlemen, I made a mistake writing down one of the referrals. House Bill 45 is actually referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 130.
House Bill Number 130, introduced by Representative Watt.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to public school elective courses.
House Bill 130 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 194.
House Bill Number 194, introduced by Representative Connolly.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 194 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 198.
House Bill Number 198, introduced by Representative Croker.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to administration of the government.
House Bill 198 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. We are now on that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 104.
Senate File Number 104 is introduced by Senator Coe.
First reading of the bill.
An act relating to government administration.
Senate File 104 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Chairman Harvey. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure today to introduce our Leap into Leadership participants. We had a wonderful dinner last night, and Leap into Leadership's purpose is to encourage more women to run for elective office at all levels. So please join me in welcoming our Leap into Leadership participants.
Welcome to the House. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At 4 o'clock this morning, five young women got up and traveled to Cheyenne to serve breakfast for at the State Auditor's Office for the Leap into Leadership Program. They belong to or are attending the Wyoming Cowboy Challenge Academy. And could I get Cadet Bennett, Cadet DeLeon, Cadet Estes, Cadet Hamilton, and Cadet Kelly to stand. Please recognize them for their efforts, not only for breakfast, not only did they help us with breakfast, but these ladies are on a pathway to a new beginning in their lives, and we congratulate them on that as well. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Sorry, twice in one day. I could have an additional privilege of the floor.
Certainly.
Last night, as part of Leap into Leadership, we were entertained and inspired by Deb Sofield, our speaker for the evening. And she is going, you have a memo on your desk, she's going to do a short training for all members of the legislature tomorrow morning. It begins at 9 in the morning, so later than we usually start, although it is Saturday. But I think it'll be a worthwhile event, and I'd encourage all of you to attend. And again, you have more information on your desk. Thank you.
Any more privileges of the floor? We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration. Oh, I'm sorry. We're at that order of business of standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 76, Investigative Subpoenas, respectfully reports the same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Gingrey, Halverson, Croker, Crone, and Watt. Those who voted no, Representatives Miller and Walters, and excused was Representative Connolly. Signed, Representative Crone, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 31, Printing of State Directory and Constitution, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Escobel, Harshman, Moniz, and Wallace. Those who voted no, Representative Nicholas and Representative Stebson. Signed, Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill number 78, the Budget Review Process, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Burkhardt, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, Stubson, and Wallace. Those who voted no, Representative Escobel. Signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number three, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 170, Streamline Sales Tax Direct Mail, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blickery, Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Laux, Madden, Northrop, Petroff, and Semlich. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 171, Fuel Tax Gasoline Definition, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blickery, Eklund, Goggles, Kirkbride, Laux, Madden, Northrup, Petroff, and Simlick, signed Representative Madden, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee, number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 95, Railroad Crossings on Track Vehicles, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Yeagie, Larson, McKim. Those who voted no, Representative Hutchings, Laux, Dave Swanitzer, signed by Representative Dave Swanitzer, Chairman.
We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 6.
House Bill number 6 is introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to solid waste disposal districts.
House Bill 6 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 49.
House Bill number 49, as introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to the legislature.
House Bill 49 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 50.
House Bill number 50, as introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to the legislature.
House Bill 50 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 57.
House Bill number 57, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to legislative compensation.
House Bill 57 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 82.
House Bill number 82 is introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to health insurance.
House Bill 82 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 86.
House Bill number 86, as introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to Child Protection Act.
House Bill 86 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 90.
House Bill number 90, as introduced by Representative Larson, an act relating to landowner liability.
House Bill 90 has an amendment on it. Representative Larson.
Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill.
I move second amendment reading number 1 to House Bill number 90. And ask for favorable consideration. What this does, Speaker, Mr. Speaker, is yesterday as we was getting ready to fly this bill out of the House, we, in our final check through, we found that we had some instrumentation glitches. We took, after a thorough diagnosis, we took this back to the bill mechanics. They worked diligently on the night to correct the problem. And what we've done is we, in the title of the bill, we have changed it to say an act relating to landowner liability, including non-commercial aviation as an activity for which protection from certain liabilities is provided, and then specifying that the inclusion of non-commercial aviation activities does not limit liability for airport operations under the Wyoming Governmental Claims Act. We would like to, and then at the, then on page 2, we've documented section 3419105 that includes that in the landowner's liability section of the statutes. So we hope with that correct diagnosis, which my analysts have indicated would allow us once again to approach the runway, we hope we would
get considerable consideration of this amendment and allow us to fly this bill out of here.
Representative or Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to say I appreciate the good sponsor of the bill. I raised this issue yesterday during Committee of the Whole, and I appreciate that he took the time to find a good solution to rectify that issue that I had raised, and I appreciate his time in doing that.
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Second time before the sponsor. Vote. Question having been called, all in favor, we're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 90. All in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment carries. House Bill 90 having been read 2 separate times to question this, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 92.
House Bill number 92. As introduced by Representative Reeder, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
House Bill 92 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 100.
House Bill number 100, as introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to vehicle registration fees.
House Bill 100 having been read 2, an amendment, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 100 and ask for favorable consideration. This amendment simply deletes disabled person and inserts person with a disability. Now, I apologize for using so many sheets of expensive pink paper for this, but I have a number of friends and constituents who are active in advocacy for people with disabilities, and they've been training me up very assiduously over the last year that the person comes first, and they are person before they are disability. I did talk with Representative Stubson last night about this, and he certainly considers it a friendly amendment. When I talked to LSO, they said, gee, we've been trying to catch all these, but sometimes they slip past. So I would ask for your favorable consideration for this, and I do stand for questions.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Representative Wilson, would you like a second time? Hearing none and sensing that you're ready to vote, all in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 100, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment carries. House Bill 100 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 115.
House Bill number 115 is introduced by Representative Greer, an act relating to wrongful death claims.
House Bill 115 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 116.
House Bill number 116, as introduced by Representative Lockhart.
House Bill 116, there are 2 amendments. Mr. Chairman Semlach.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 116 and ask for your favorable consideration. This bill has to do with the Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee, and this amendment has to do with the way that the Select Committee membership will come about. It's really a pretty small change. Currently it says that membership should come from at least one member of the joint agricultural, state and public lands, and minerals and appropriations. And this amendment would just simply say that instead of the joint, it will say that one member will come from the Senate Ag, one member will come from the Senate Minerals and Senate Appropriations, and then goes down in Romanet 2 on page 2 and just repeats that for the House side of the appointment process. So just ensure that there will be a balance of membership between the House and the Senate, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Any more discussion on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 116? Hearing none and sensing you're ready to vote, all in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 16, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 116 has passed. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 116. Representative Greer. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 116. I ask for your favorable consideration. What this amendment does is it makes it clear that the Select Committee will not be introducing its own legislation, but rather would direct that legislation to the appropriate interim committee, who would then be the sponsor of the legislation. When the bill was drafted, if you want to get everyone here to focus and look on page three at line 18, we talked in terms of develop and introduce legislative responses to federal policy. If you'll recall, we had amended that in committee, and I had asked this body to defeat our standing committee amendment so I could get this language right. What we want this committee to do, in what the first part of the amendment does, is to allow them to develop legislative responses to federal policy, give them the flexibility to write a letter, to take a position, and move quickly in that vein. But it does delete the introduce component of it. And then I asked that we insert a Romanat 4 to allow them to prepare and forward to the appropriate legislative committees recommended legislation necessary to promote the management, development, or the use of the state's natural resources. Reason why I bring this amendment is last year we did have a good discussion concerning select committees' abilities to bring and introduce its own legislation. We still have some that do. Select Water is one that comes to mind. But I understood in being a member of two of the three committees that this covers, I think it's important that this select committee be able to meet with the people that are out there, address those issues, but that we still come back to the interim committees, our long-standing standing committees, and not slowly erode or take away any of their responsibility. Again, this is a policy decision that I understood last year that we wanted to take was to limit select committees being able to introduce their own legislation. And with that, I know we have a counterpoint to this, and that's wonderful. Thank you.
Chairman Sinlock.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The counterpoint is not worth falling on my sword over, but I would like to just offer maybe a little bit different perspective on two points. One is this year, our last subcommittee meeting at that time met December 11th, and that was after the interim committee meetings on minerals and ag had already been completed. The thing that we've run into on this select committee on federal land management and issues is that it's oftentimes difficult to schedule when we can get those officials from the federal land offices to come and appear before our meeting. So we try to give them as much notice as possible, and sometimes that so they'll attend. So there won't be an excuse not to be able to be there. So we try to get them as much notice as possible, and that gets into the end of the calendar year, in the end of the interim work after the interim committees have met. So we don't really have that opportunity to recycle that. And the other point is that if this amendment is not adopted, then the select committee will take those proposals back through the standing committees once we get to the legislature, at least one of the standing committees. And with the way that the committee members are selected on this committee, it will be members of those committees. So they'll have at least one member of those committees will certainly have an opportunity to understand the work that's gone on during the summer. So it's not a big deal. It's just a matter of process that we'd say, well, schedule your meetings earlier in the year. Well, we know the problems of trying to get intercommittee meetings scheduled, the conflicts that members have, and sometimes we just end up being after when the minerals and appropriations, well, not appropriations, but when minerals and ag meet, and then it might somewhat limit the work that this committee could do. But not a big issue, but I guess our preference would be to leave it as it is and not to adopt the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. We every now and then have these great policy debates on the floor and say, we're never going to do this again because we made a mistake, and let's not ever do that again. And we had one of those last year regarding having select committees introduce legislation. And the reason that we made, and then we have an election that intervenes, and then all of the things that we promised ourselves, we have to either re-promise ourselves or break our promise to ourselves from our predecessors. The reason that it's an inefficient way to do things, to have select committees introduce their own legislation, is they go through a whole process during the interim, and then it goes to a standing committee when we get down here. And that standing committee may not support the select committee's legislation, and so we've gone through a whole bunch of effort for naught. And so referring it to the standing committee in the interim so that they can consider it and debate it after the select committee's put it together is a more efficient use of our floor time, and that's why we developed the policy. And so I would stand on and for the amendment for that reason.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on and with some reservation against the amendment, and it was because of the experience that we had in this very fast-moving legislative year of things that were happening in the area of federal land management issues. We didn't have the time to get to a meeting, have an input, get to a position, and then round up a committee to take it forward. And that's why we have this in here for this year. Now, here's my suggestion on it. As we vote this down, this amendment down, and consider between now and the next time we have a reading on this thing, the full impacts of this. Keeping in mind that this is just an extension for 1 year, and it's this year that we're talking about, and we may want to stick with it, but I'd like to have that ability with this select committee to draft the legislation. I think it's in the best interest of the legislature in our state.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a committee chairman, I always think it's best if the people that are going to work the bill have the opportunity to be involved in the process from the earliest point possible. I brought an amendment last year on the budget that allowed my education committee to attend all of the Select Committee on Accountability meetings with full salary, and I did that because I wanted people to be involved in the process. I think it's important that everyone have the opportunity to see these select pieces of work, if it's at all possible, before these bills come back to the floor, because it's good for the legislative process. It helps us build advocacy among our own members, and it educates people. And anytime you can educate people, we make better decisions. So I would urge you to vote aye on the amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I urge you to vote no on the amendment. I was the chairman of a select committee that came to the conclusion that it needed legislation. And I was left in the sort of in the role of the ugly stepchild. And some of you think I am anyway. I understand that. But an ugly stepchild wandering around from committee to committee to committee, trying to find a chairman that would take my legislation and work it in their committee. And there were some who didn't want to take it. There were some who had timing problems, and I had a hard time getting that done. And the select committee work was well done. It eventually became law. It had been worked by that committee. And I agree with the argument that when we invest that much in a committee and vest them with the authority to go investigate a subject, if they come to the conclusion they need legislation, I think it ought to be introduced. Now, once it's introduced by that committee, it's going to roll right back to a standing committee, whoever the speaker assigns it to. So it's not like the standing committee process is cut out. It's still going to be considered by a standing committee. But it's going to be introduced, and it isn't going to have to be
it isn't going to have to suffer the whims of committee chairman about whether or not it comes in. Once it comes in, it's introduced, it goes back to a standing committee, then they work the bill. They may shoot it down. I understand that. But I think it's a much more efficient process for making use of our standing committees and getting the work that they've done into the process. So on and against the amendment.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the design of the committee structure, we ended up with 10 exactly like committees in both the House and the Senate. The very purpose of that was that during the interim period, they would be joint, and whatever their conclusions were, whatever their recommendations were, ended up with an advocacy in both the House and the Senate so that there could be a knowledgeable approach to what the interim work was. On and for the amendment, we've had a proliferation of select committees to the point where it's almost a distraction from the standing committees. To have the select committees report to a joint interim committee allows for the findings, the work, and it's not that they don't do good work. They do. It ought to be terminal in the sense that whatever the assignment is that they address the assignment and get the report and get the action and propose legislation, be there some, or oversight, if that be the recommendation, to the Joint Interim Committee, that the action then has the institution of the legislature, being both the House and the Senate, has the same equal knowledge and an opportunity to use, implement, or to have a public discussion relative to their findings. So it doesn't have to be this particular amendment, but I think overall that the amendment serves the purpose and a step in the right direction of the good use and the good work of select committees by the joint interim committees and thus the standing committees in both the House and the Senate.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have served as the chairman of a select committee that could bring bills, and I have served as the chairman of a different select committee that couldn't bring bills. And so I've seen it from both sides. I have a concern very much expressed by the last speaker that a proliferation of committees, and it's not just select committees, it's task force, it's steering committees, all the different names we give to them. I'd urge you to vote aye for the amendment, but more importantly, it seems to happen every session that here we have a very good bill that I think many of us are in support of, and we sort of get off into a rabbit hole that has really nothing to do with the bill, because here we are debating select committees again, which I think is a detriment to this fine bill. What I think needs to happen, and just a suggestion, is that perhaps management council throughout the next interim, maybe this is something they could take up, because what I'd like to see perhaps is in the title that deals with the legislature, that maybe we have a statute that defines exactly what we feel a select committee is, a steering committee, a task force, all the different committees that we seem to form, and have a set way that we appoint people to them. That way that every time we do one of these types of bills and you're setting up a committee, we don't go through the same argument again as to what the committee should look like and what type of committee and what powers the committee should have. It would just say select committee, and we would all know, oh, that means X, because we go back to that statute and we see how a select committee is defined. What gets frustrating is that each select committee seems to have different powers. And I'm not saying one is better than the other. When I served on the select committee on mental health and substance abuse, we had the power to bring all of our bills directly here. We didn't have to go through a committee. There were some downsides to that, because you had to go and explain all the work that you did throughout the year to a standing committee. On the other hand, I see where the good majority floor leader is coming from, because I was chairman of a select committee that we did not have the power, and you were like a stepchild sort of wandering around looking for someone to please take up your bill that you had worked on all year. I urge you to vote yes on this amendment, but more importantly, I think management council needs to do a bill for next year so we're not having this discussion every single year on every single bill where we create a committee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am against this amendment as well, and I think that a better compromise would be, and I'd be willing to bring an amendment next for third reading, is that to have a select committee report to a standing committee and have that assignment of the standing committee in the bill that creates the select committee. I, too, have been a chairman of select committees, and it's very difficult when you get reports that are come to you on December 1st and the standing committee that would be carrying the legislation has already finished their meetings for the year. So I think it's a detriment to take away their ability to carry legislation, but I think that it's very advantageous to have them report to the standing committee that they would that would be the logical one to carry the legislation or the logical one. And I think certainly when you are a part of a select committee, it brings the knowledge base down smaller. And I think that that's exactly what this fine representative was trying to do with his amendment, was to educate more people in the legislature. But I think to report to a standing committee would be an easier solution and still allow the select committee to do the work that they were assigned to do, including bringing legislation.
Are there any other former chairmen of select committees who have not spoken on this amendment? Anybody else for their first time? First time? Second time? Chairman Sumlet?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll just go back and pick up an idea that I talked about previously, was that just kind of in the process of trying to get these committees' dates set, it's just sometimes we end up late in the year and we have important issues that we feel need to be brought up, and we miss the window to get it into an interim committee, and so it makes it a little bit more difficult. The information that we receive and the testimony and responsibilities with respect to this committee is really targeted fairly tightly towards agriculture and minerals, and most of the standing committee members are pretty well apprised of those issues anyway. And the testimony at these meetings can go on 4 or 5 hours just on one subject alone. So to inform the interim committee meetings of what we talked about in terms of the discussion points, to get that same people back together again for those presentations, the interim committee is, especially on the federal side, would be very difficult, if not impossible. Certainly we can cover some of the general areas the committee members can and bring that to it, but we're not going to get those same people most likely back into the interim committees and share that information. So just a, kind of a slight pushback on this amendment, and would ask that you would vote against it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anybody else? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the more I hear, the more opposed I am to the amendment, simply because if these committees proliferate, it's our fault. We dream these things up. We appoint people to them. There's a reason that we have them. At least we think we have a reason when we put them together. Then we spend a lot of money funding their travel and salary to meet, consider, do whatever they were charged with doing as a select committee. And then there's the danger it comes back and their work won't be accepted by any of the standing committees, and so all that work just goes down the drain. And I think that's a mistake. And I think if it's important enough to appoint a select committee to address that subject, and it's important enough to pay all those expenses, then there ought to be a guaranteed way that that legislation makes it to the floor for further consideration. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their second time? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just one item, and that is that, recall that I said there's only a year in this bill, and so I think we can do it this year, and if we want to face that issue of select committees and what they can do and not do, we don't have to do it on this amendment. I want to also say it's very important that we keep this bill moving forward because it's important to our state and legislature.
Anyone else for their first time or second time? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And to all of our chairs, thank you for the discussion. I still feel and support this amendment. I understand the positions that are taken against it. And I still firmly believe that these select committees are very good things. They do good work. They get out. They get to hear the testimony of more people, of the people involved. And then if there's a need for legislation, they work the legislation. They help get that ready. However, they need to bring it back to our interim committees. Those are the committees that we get appointed to. They're there for a reason. They're there for specific areas. They come back to those committees. They don't need to bring in all of the players again because that work's been done. They bring them in, and then they use the knowledge, the institutional knowledge that's on those committees, to make that bill a better bill. So that when it comes down here, look at your statistics on the passage rates of standing committee bills. They're very high. Now, this comment about being an orphan and looking for a standing committee, well, I don't mean to be critical, but you need to be doing that early on in the process. If you're chair of a select committee, you better be finding that committee that's going to work with you and carry this legislation. That's part of your job. So it's a policy decision, and much like the good chair of Ag, I'm not going to fall on my sword over it. But good discussion, and I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 116. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion carries. Thought there might be. All in favor say aye. Or stand up, I mean. Stand up and say aye. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 116 fails. House Bill 116 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 119.
House Bill number 119 is introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to the Department of Family Services.
House Bill 119 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 144.
House Bill number 144, introduced by Representative Connolly, an act relating to kindergarten readiness, early childhood development, and early literacy development.
House Bill 144 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business of third reading of bills. At that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills. House Bill 3, Effective Financing Statements Duration. House Bill 4, Brands.
Anybody want any bills removed? Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll. Oh, I'm sorry. You've got to read the bills first.
House Bill number 3 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to the Uniform Commercial Code extending duration of effectiveness for filed financing statements, providing for future application, and providing for an effective date, be enacted by the State of Wyoming. House Bill number 4 from the Agricultural Committee, an act relating to brands, revising how brands are recorded and re-recorded, providing for delinquent brands, requiring stock drovers to return coming red livestock at their expense, providing for fees, providing definitions, repealing obsolete provisions, and providing for an effective date, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger excused. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Reeder. Simlick. Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused. As to House Bill 3, are there any changes? Green, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused. As to House Bill 4, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 3 and 4 have passed the House. We're on that order of business of third reading and final passage. The only bill for our consideration is House Bill 69.
House Bill number 69, introduced by the Revenue Department, an act relating to revenue for transportation purposes, increasing the fuel tax, and providing for an effective date, be enacted by the State of Wyoming.
We are on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 69. As you know, with the delete the enacting clause, we do that one last, so we will skip to amendment 2 and do it first. Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 69, and I would ask for your favorable consideration. If everybody's had a chance to take a look at this, this takes the fuel tax that we're proposing, and rather than dump this all in one big load at 10 cents right now, makes it incremental at the rate of 1 cent per year for the next 10 years until in the year 2022 we would arrive at the full 10 cents that we are aiming at today. I bring this, I believe that it makes it a little bit more palatable for those who have some concerns about raising the tax. As we all know, gas prices are, A, they're high, and B, they fluctuate quite a bit, and they fluctuate both from town to town and also from week to week, and it's very hard to keep track of that. But anyway, if we're raising this at the rate of 1 cent a year, it will be practically unnoticed, I think, and it will just sort of make it a little easier for the people to adjust to it, and it will give time for it to ease in there. And so I would stand for any questions. Thank you.
Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we've had a great debate on this bill. I think we've had a great education in terms of the economics that are involved with the fuel tax. And I've a particularly strong argument about the need for our highways to have an existing and enhanced source of revenue, and particularly strong argument that involved hippos, elephants, honey badgers, and beavers that I think was pretty persuasive. So I think that we need the tax, but I'm in support of this amendment because I believe it's a more balanced approach. It's a more balanced approach to get where we need to go under the circumstances that we're in right now in our economy. So I would urge the body to support this amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would respectfully ask the members of the body to resist this amendment. I guess the first reason I would ask for that is that this bill would probably not be fully instituted by the time I'm dead. And the other reason is that it obviates the original purpose of the bill that was before us in the first place. It does nothing to solve our highway funding problems. And I thought we had pretty well established that during the debate during general file. The fact of the matter is the fuel tax hasn't been raised. It's been zero. It's been the raise for 14 years running. And that means that if we raise it 10 cents, what we're really doing on average is raising it 2/3 of a cent per year from 1998 to 2013. That's 2/3 of a cent. This is a little bit more aggressive if you look at it that way, except that it doesn't start out at 24 cents and then raising it by a penny. It just starts out and raises it from 14 cents. Now, what this does is raise it 1 cent per year. Like I say, what we've done so far from 98 to 2000 is raise it 2/3 of a cent. And what I did is I quickly made an abstraction of gaining that 1/3 of a cent. And if we assume the same things happened with the price level is what happened in the last 15 years, if it goes forward that way, it will be 2069 before we are caught up in what we really need in the form of fuel tax. The bringer of the bill or the amendment said that this would make it unnoticed. Well, I guess nobody can argue with the fact that it would make it unnoticed. But I think we established during the debate it's going to be essentially unnoticed anyway. The fuel tax is not a prime mover and shaker of the price we pay for fuel. We've established the fact that inside and outside the state, the prices are the same, and we have a 10-cent lower tax. So that alleged advantage, I don't think has any foundation to it. I looked at gas prices in Cheyenne on a website earlier. If you go to the north side of Cheyenne, the price is 12 cents lower than it is on the east side of Cheyenne. And I also looked it up, and both of them are paying the fuel tax. So, again, the fuel tax is not a big mover. It's not a big factor and not a big determinant of what you pay at the pump. The price you pay at the pump is totally dominated by the refined price of fuel, and they're totally dominated by the crude price. And what we can do in here, whether we go one way or the other, it doesn't have anything more than a second order of magnitude to what you pay at the pump. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Blickery.
Mr. Chairman, just because I was curious at 5 minutes to 10 this morning, I looked up the lowest fuel price in a number of communities so that we could compare. And so in the central part of the state near the Wind River, it's $3.01. In the central part of the state on I-80, it's $2.89. In the north central part of the state near the Bighorns, it's $2.83. In the capital city, it's $2.55. And in the energy town, it's $2.67. Now, in the Mile High City this morning, it's $2.44. In the city that's named after the fort, it's $2.59. And in the city of Fast Water, in the state that's across the border from north of us, it's $2.59. just to give you some ideas of what prices are in all these different places and what competition has to do with those prices.
Representative Miller, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and for the amendment, still against the bill, this is a more measured approach. A 7% increase in the gas tax per year is a little bit more palatable than a 70% increase. Again, this gives us a chance to respond as we go down the road. We can bring legislation to speed this up, or we can bring legislation to take it off. But again, on and for the amendment, again, it's a 7% increase this coming year. It will increase by that 1 cent per year. It'll gradually be less than 7% as it increases. But it is an increase, and it does get money into this area. I'm not convinced that this is the best way to fund this program. The majority of the money comes not from the highway taxes. It comes from the federal money that comes into the state. We don't really look at this group that much. But, again, we have to be careful here because this is going to impact everyone in Wyoming right down to it's actually a very regressive tax that's going to affect people that need this extra money the most. On and for the amendment against the bill.
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
Remember a couple days ago I talked about a hippopotamus wearing a T-shirt that said highways. What this amendment does is it feeds that hippopotamus peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and mashed potatoes, and it makes it heavier and heavier and heavier and fatter and fatter and fatter sitting on the top of that tax table. The problem is our roads are deteriorating, and they're deteriorating as we sit here and speak, and they'll deteriorate tomorrow, and they'll deteriorate further. And what you all know from the YDOT figures is that a dollar spent now saves us $8 by the time that this tax is phased in. And so we will need to maintain our highways if we wait for the phase-in at the rates that the Wyoming Department of Transportation tells us. We will have to raise the taxes double or triple or eight times more to maintain what, if we had the sense to maintain now, 8 years from now, we won't have to do that. So I would urge you to defeat this amendment and quit feeding the hippopotamus peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and buttery mashed potatoes.
Anyone else for their first time? For the first time, for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Whip. I appreciate that the debate that this has generated and the discussion. I would still urge you to support this. I think that this is, if we ease into this, it may alleviate some of the issues, some of the concerns that some of our members are having and some of the constituents out there are having. So on and in favor of this amendment, please support it.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 69. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion fails, or the amendment fails. We're now on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 69, and I'll withdraw it at the appropriate time. Again, we've had a lot of good debate on this. I just want to get a few more facts out there so the body can make a good informed decision on this. I also did look at the gas prices around a little bit, just a little bit ago, not over 30 minutes. Today, the price in the city to the west is $2.34. That's the absolute lowest price I could find. In the city to the south is $2.71. That's a big difference, and that differential will go down if we add 10 cents to the price of a gallon of gas. 11 of the 13 stations over in the city to the west had lower prices than the city to the south. Here in the capital city, every single station had a lower price than the city to the south. The lowest, very lowest price to the, in the city to the south. So if you're thinking those prices won't go up because of adding 10 cents a gallon, that 70% increase, that's wrong. Number two is if this bill fails, there are other bills lurking out there that will put some money into the highway department for our highways in Wyoming. They're waiting to see what happens here. So, again, I'd say let's take a look at some of those other bills that doesn't impact our constituents like this bill does. This is an unbelievable tax increase, 70%. So I ask for your support to defeat this bill.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've heard lots, and I think most people have their minds made up. But I'd just like to give one thing that I've been thinking about. We have the six-penny tax that, you know, we have the option to raise in cities and counties. The one-penny is somewhere around a 16-17% tax, and everybody votes on it. Here we're raising 71%, and nobody gets to vote on it. Us here get to vote. So there's one thing that I think we just need to continue. I appreciate the reminder that there are some other options out there, and I will push my option again, a budget amendment raising $50 million to put into the highway fund. So that's what this tax would have produced in 1 year, and we'll get that money with a study to fund efficiency performance audit of YDOT, of their $1 billion budget, so we'll know where the money's going. That's the biggest thing that bothers me. I don't have any concern with the facts and figures of the roads, the conditions, the needs, but I do have some concern with the efficiency and where the money is being spent. I would really feel a lot better if we knew that. So I urge the defeat of this, and let's look at some other options. Thank you.
Representative Gay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To echo the words of my good colleague who is seated on my right at the moment, there are some other bills lurking out there. It's probably not appropriate to go into specific detail at them right now, but we will get this thing paid for one way or the other.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I didn't want to miss the opportunity to remind the folks in the legislature here today that the good representative from Fremont County and I have been here the same number of years, at about 12, and this won't be the first time I've been on the other side of an issue with him. I'd like you to defeat the amendment. I think we've heard all of the arguments that really develop our thoughts on this. We supported it in the past. We support the bill in the past, but not the amendment. Let's don't get into this kind of a thing at the last minute on this. Let's face the facts, and let's follow what our mothers used to tell us. A stitch in time saves nine, and that's just about what it'll save on the maintenance.
Representative Piperina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I stand to speak on and for the amendment and against House Bill 69, the fuel tax bill. A wise man once said that the power to tax is the power to destroy. To destroy what? Well, for openers, the people's faith in representative government. You can always count on the people, whether in this country or throughout places in the world, to inherently know that something is amiss in their seats of government and when their voices are not being heard. As I made my way up and down the streets of my legislative district this past summer and fall, canvassing the electorate on various issues, it was overwhelmingly shown the dissatisfaction and distaste in the palatability of the proposed fuel tax. Yes, transportation infrastructure is undoubtedly important, but let's take a more serious look at the existing money is already in the state's possession. Let's take a more serious look at better fiscal management and financial planning. let's take a more serious look at agency efficiency and personnel before trying to squeeze more monies out of an already financially strapped and distressed electorate. The burden of taxes is already a heavy burden for the people to afford their government. Tax Freedom Day 2012, an intuitively graspable measure of the tax burdens on Americans, arrived on April 17th last year, 4 days later than the previous year, due to the higher federal and corporate taxes. In Wyoming, the date was April 23rd. That means Americans worked 107 out of 365 days from January 1st through April 17th to earn enough money to pay last year's combined 29.2% federal, state, and local tax bill. Just how much skin in the game does the government think the people need to give? One of our founding fathers, and he was also second president of the United States, said that to compel a man to furnish funds for the propagation of ideas he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical. I respectfully ask that we vote down this bill.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's a couple of facts we have to remember, ladies and gentlemen. The cost of putting roadways together has increased over the last 10 years. We've continually heard testimony that, it's three times the cost now to build a road that it was, 10 years ago. And who's going to pay for that? We have to come up with a solution. I heard a comment that we need to look into the agency closer to make sure that they are spending their funds wisely and that it's administered wisely. Yesterday I told you that they have independently hired an outside firm to come in and look, and that firm did look. And as I mentioned, they did find $8 million worth of savings, but we're talking a $1 billion budget. There's a lot of money involved in road construction. And keep that in mind. Who's going to pay for it? And I can assure you that it will not be the federal government. I think we all understand that fact. When we look at that, the state to the west understood that, and their state contributes 85% to the total budget of the roads in that state. If you look to the people that are supporting this, it is a coalition of people that are on top of it, the people that use the roads, the people that understand the importance of the roads. They know that they need to be fixed. If we let these things go down, if we kick that can down the road any further, there will not be a road there to kick it down. Thank you.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm speaking here for the first time to reserve for the second time. Thank you.
Representative Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment and in favor of the bill, the most compelling testimony to me after volumes and volumes of testimony in the committee is that we are already paying this tax. The question is, are we going to collect it?
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First and last time, I respect the motion to or the option of withdrawing the amendment, so I'm speaking against the amendment and for the bill. We, city, county, state, and nation, run financially on taxes, with one exception. There's only one of those that has a printing press. We have to balance our budget. We are responsible for the financing and the maintenance of what public services that we have. Yet we dislike taxes. Uniformly, we dislike it, especially those of us that have to vote for it. We're not down here to raise taxes. That's not why we came down. And I'm like that also. I don't like it to do it either. It's kind of like eating spinach. When I was a kid, I had to eat spinach. Came in a can. If you're going to be strong like Popeye, you had to eat your spinach before you could go out and play. I ate spinach. Didn't like it. still don't like it. Makes your blood, red blood cells larger, you know. In a previous discussion, I was asked to make a presentation to a four-state conference relative to taxes. And so it was a broad view that I was given the opportunity to make the presentation. And in my review, I discovered that there isn't any such thing as a fair tax. It doesn't matter what tax you come up with. You can find some discrepancy. You can find something that's wrong with it, something where somebody else is paying more or not paying enough in the way of a fair tax. So I came to the conclusion, made the recommendation, and this is over 20 years ago, that the role of the legislature is to try and equalize the inequities. And that's exactly where we are today. We're looking at should we or should we not participate by a user tax, which is probably as close to any tax that is fair as we have an opportunity to implement. I don't pretend to say that it's just and that it's fair. When I walk in the courthouse and take a look up there, they talk about equality, but they don't say that it's fair. But it's our responsibility to try to equalize those inequities, and unfortunately it causes us to eat the spinach. Ugh, I'm going to do it.
Representative Kasparek.
Mr. Speaker, I'm a nurse, I'm not an economist, and I'm compelled to listen to the lessons of an economist. What I do know, and what I do every day, and all of you do, is travel the roads of Wyoming and a lot of our neighboring states, and I see the different prices, and I don't make heads or tails of them. You've heard the spot market prices, you know, from a couple of different speakers. But I know that, you know, as I travel the roads, as you travel the roads, my husband, my children, you know, our friends, our families, the people who work and drive many, many miles on the roads in our state, I want them to be safe. I want them to come home. And I think it's important that we fill this amendment and pass this bill. Thank you.
Representative Watt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I showed up here first time 2001-2002, and everybody talked about rainy days and saving for rainy days. And I was for that. That's a good idea. And my constituents asked me, well, when are we going to have a rainy day? It's raining on us right now. And then I went away. And like a bad penny, I showed up again in 2005 and 2006. And everybody told me that voted for me, it's a rainy day. I don't have any more money. Can't we spend some of our money that we're saving for a rainy day? And we didn't. We didn't spend it on roads. We spent it on lots of other programs. You know, it's raining. It's pouring on my constituents. You know, and this doesn't sound like very much money when you add it all up. You know, I'm only going to spend, what, $96 or $69 or whatever it is. But that's a lot of money for me, for my constituents. They don't want this. You know, it's funny because usually when a bill comes up, you know, I'll get some emails that say vote yes and some that say no. This bill, I've had nothing but no. Don't vote for it. I think I have had one email out of all of the emails that said yes. My constituents don't want this. I don't think that I don't think a lot of people in Wyoming want this. I really don't. And yeah, it may not be a good idea to spend savings money, but we have to spend it at some point in time. At some point in time, we need to say today is rainy, and we need to spend some of our rainy day money. Let's spend some of our money out of all the billions that we've saved over the years, now's the time. Let's spend some of it. Let's not add more of a burden upon our constituents with this tax. We have more tax coming at us from the federal angle. Our people don't need this. The people that live on a fixed income don't need this. I don't know how many of you live on a fixed income. I do. And I really don't need this. So I want to ask you to think about this real hard. Think about all the emails that you've gotten. How many of them have actually said yes? And how many have said no? And I'll bet you you've had a whole lot more say no than you have yes. Anyways, I would ask you to vote no on this bill.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My first time to reserve a second.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I try to make it a habit to go to the local senior citizen center, and I've been doing it since I've been elected. And it's kind of a funny thing because they've convinced me that I should vote for the lottery, and I've convinced them that the fuel tax is necessary. Nobody likes to pay taxes, and that's been said before. The way that I understand it, we're going to raise between $50 and $60 million. From what has been reported, we need to have about $130 million. So we're going to have to go to our savings accounts, whether we pass this tax or not. Before I came down last year to the legislature, my wife came to Rock Springs, and we had dinner with some friends, and then I proceeded on to Cheyenne. And we have good road between Rock Springs and Green River, and my wife drove back on a car that she was not used to, and she ended up on the side of the road, so I had to go and rescue her. I would have felt a lot worse if those were bad roads. And frankly, in some parts of the state, the roads are bad. And we need the money now. We need to start to do the programs now. I like this bill also because for the 2 years that I've been down, I've been hearing a lot from counties and cities. And we have been very generous to give them money each year from the general fund. With the reducing of coal, with the reducing of the price of natural gas, my guess is that we're not going to be as generous to cities and counties as we've been in the past. We want to be, but frankly, we have to balance the budget, and it's not there. It was pointed out by someone who opposes this bill that we get most of the money from the federal government. That's true from what all the figures that I've seen. I believe that there's going to be reductions in monies coming to the states from the federal government. There's going to be less money coming to us, which will put more of a pressure on us to come up with the money to keep our roads safe. Other states put off fixing their roads. And in researching what they've done to catch up, they've done some very ugly taxes that people don't look and it isn't appropriate. I don't want to see the state of Wyoming to be put into a place where we put sales tax on top of gasoline, on top of fuel taxes that we already collect. It's a user fee, my friends, and it may change some of our constituents to change their behaviors. I live in an area that is blessed with public transportation. I drive probably about 24 miles to work every day. And my car gets about 24 miles per gallon. So all those prices that you have of how much gas is here and where I live and in the capital city and in the city that's named after a fort, basically the market's going to determine that. But if I would use public transportation instead of, let's say, $3 a gallon costing me $6 to get work and back, I can use public transportation and get by for $2. You don't have to drive everywhere. You can carpool. You can do other things that we're not used to doing in Wyoming. But I think that we as a legislature have a responsibility to keep our citizens safe and to have fair taxes, and I would hope that you would defeat the amendment and support the bill.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple comments. Probably most of you have your minds made up, but when I was a freshman 10 years ago, I stood right here at this podium, and it was a transitional time. When I ran for election, it was the Tax 2000 issue and the state income tax. And I spoke at this podium. I said the number one rule that I remember from Economics 101 was in disparate taxing jurisdictions, the winner is always the supplier. And I think the good representative from Teton said it very well. We've been paying the tax. We just haven't been collecting it. And I think that's very important. But I want to address this idea about a rainy day. And I don't think we'll come to the legislature one day and say it's a rainy day. I think it's going to be more what, when I first came into the legislature and a few of you who were here during the last, what I'd call the rainy season. And that season will last a decade or better. And that season is characterized by when our coal prices, which is the bedrock of our taxes, dips. When there are no longer coal plants being built in the United States. When there are coal plants being switched to gas. When our Green River Basin natural gas that has produced this huge boom that I was privileged to serve under, the greatest time maybe in the state's history to be able to do so much good. Well, that Green River Basin has hit its peak. And now that the rainy season starts when that volume begins to decrease. And the rainy season begins when fracking has opened up natural gas and oil everywhere in every part of this world. And so when everybody has these commodities, the prices drop and our taxes drop. And so it won't be a rainy day. So when we got lucky, and you've seen these graphs where our general fund spending on YDOT. Well, that's when the boom hit. That's when we had $7 and $8 natural gas, and we came out of that raising season. And how could you raise taxes? You couldn't. We could afford to general fund it. Well, the other graph we've talked about is when we come back here next year, and when we have to have $153 million in cuts, and you have Big Blue there, the health department, how are you going to cut $73 million? It's going to be tough. And then when we take more money out for highways to fund that, then how do you cut that? Those are going to be tough decisions. So the rainy season is what we're looking at. So talking about our savings over the last decade, we are now living on that. When I spoke at this microphone 10 years ago, we were under $50 million a year in income from our permanent fund. And our fund was just under $2 billion. And I said, don't spend all this. Let's save it for posterity. That's what these severance taxes are for. For when we're gone, when these minerals are gone. So we developed a plan, the 4x10 plan. Let's double it by 2010. And imagine that we could come here someday and say, there will be $250 million a year for us to spend off of permanent savings. And this was 10 years ago, and we all have that, our human fault is no perspective of time. I never dreamed I would be standing at this podium 10 years later. Well, I tell you, that $250 million is saving us today. It is saving our budget. And so I urge you to not deviate the course to dip into some of these fund flows and these savings, because it is not the rainy day, but you can see the storm clouds of a rainy season, and it will be longer and deeper than one day. And it will be structural changes. The Tax 2000 phenomena will come back. We will have to deal with those issues if we are not very careful. So, again, we've been paying this tax. We need to simply start collecting it. So urge your no vote on the amendment and your aye vote on the bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, one of the best letters to the editor I ever saw in that paper up in the central part of the state was written by our Revenue Committee Chairman, who said, if you think another dime of tax on gas is going to make it go up 10 cents, convince me that if we took our existing 14 cents off, it would go down by 14 cents.
Anyone who hasn't spoken on this bill yet? Anyone else for their first time? First time? Second time? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My points will be brief today. I'm not going to hold you up for an hour, giving you another lecture. Both the sponsor of this amendment and myself have basically the same wits about us, as well as experience and background in this body. But today, there's a big difference between us in this particular argument, and I'll tell you more about this up front before this fulmination continues. The sponsor of this amendment has an inherent advantage over me in this debate, and I want you to consider this and give me a little slack here in the following discussion. And here's why. There's a diametric difference between good sound arguments as opposed to good sounding arguments. I'm charged with giving you good sound arguments, and I hope I've done that. And the sponsor of this amendment is lucky, since he simply has to provide good-sounding arguments. Let's talk briefly about the difference. As the name implies, good-sounding arguments simply just have to sound good. No foundation, little or no evidence, no statistical support. Why? Because these type of arguments have as their basis emotional appeal rather than what is practical and logical, and lend themselves to impulsive reasoning and impulsive decision-making. In other words, all you have to do with a good-sounding argument is to simply say a few sound bites, and if you say them long enough and eloquently enough, you just have to hope some of them stick with the members of this body. Let's talk about the 70% increase in fuel that you heard the sponsor talk about on a number of occasions here. A 70% increase in fuel taxes. Yes, from last year to this year, they went up 70%. But what he didn't tell you is that it went up 0% for 14 years running. So if you run that out, it's really gone up about two-thirds of a cent, I should say, two-thirds of a cent per year. And the comparison of states, suggesting that our state to the south has higher fuel prices. He didn't tell you that the refining standards for fuel sold in Colorado is different than the refining standards in Wyoming. Good sound arguments, in contrast, must be supported by evidence, be supported by research, logic, and history of proven conclusions. The downside of this is it takes much more work. I couldn't present my presentation by looking at the computer while I was sitting at my desk. Much effort and many, many interim committee meetings to come to an outline of what is best for Wyoming was no small task when it comes to transportation infrastructure. I have provided, for example, background in the market structure of the marketing of fuel, the suppliers of fuel. And I told you there's 245 suppliers, and the vast majority of them are interstate suppliers. And that has extreme impacts on the dynamics of price making and shifting of taxes as we look at this market. I've also supplied you and delivered to you evidence of YDOT needs and the dollars of funding shortfall we face as we sit here today. I provided details of IFTA, and I talked about the deleterious impacts that occur by us having a smaller than average fuel tax in our region. And it's the same thing as disparate cost structures. Anytime you do that, you've got yourself into a pickle where suppliers can use that as a marketing tool, as a marketing lever to enhance their benefit or to their benefit. I've also given you evidence of efficiency and third-party evaluations and assessments of the efficiency in YDOT. What else have I given you? I also reviewed briefly all of the funding options and showed why the fuel tax is the least painful alternative and provided statistical support for it. For example, 53% of any tax that's shifted to the pump is going to be shifted to someone that doesn't live in Wyoming. I also showed that it doesn't have a material impact on prices due to regional markets or due to regional market structure. If I thought that this was going to have a material significant impact on prices, I wouldn't support it. But I'm convinced and I'm confident that that not only is not likely to happen, but it's impossible that you can get a full 10-cent for 10-cent shift at the pump. I have provided evidence from, and we were received much more evidence that our pump prices don't fall below those in surrounding states, as long as you're talking about states, or excuse me, communities that are close around Wyoming. And that's because we're all in the same market. We don't have a Wyoming market for fuel and a Nebraska market for fuel. We're all in the same boat together. I pointed out also that Wyoming runs on roads. No other state runs on roads more than we do. We depend on roads. We have long roads between communities. Our industries depend on roads more than any place you can imagine. And there are 18 groups, ladies and gentlemen of the House, that have endorsed this and think it's important. They understand the importance of safe, well-maintained roads to their viability. And the type of people that are in these 18 organizations include the whole economic gamut of this state. It includes agriculture, it includes tourism, virtually all the segments of the energy industry, and they're all represented here. And they come to pretty much a consensus on this, is that good roads save them money and allow them to be thriving, growing, profitable businesses. And these are the people that are paying the taxes. You know, we talk about how much it's going to cost an average household for tax if this should pass. You know, just at the very outside, an average household, we're talking $100 a year. That's $8, $9 or so a month. I mean, this is not the first order of magnitude as far as being a budget breaker. The other thing I want to talk about is public opinion. And we've heard some issues about this where people would campaign and go out and ask people if they'd like to have the fuel tax raised. And some of them have come up and said that, well, I count my emails, and I count way, way more of them that are against it than for it. I guess I've conducted surveys for clients for probably 35 years. And one thing I learned when I do conduct surveys, you always have to ask two questions, at least two questions. You know, and the question that was missing on these campaign visits is, in addition do you want to have an increase in the fuel taxes? An appropriate question would have been, do you want to keep up the condition and the standards of our roads? And, of course, then you get a little bit more balanced approach of what these people really believe in. The other thing I want to talk about just briefly is the fact that, you know, there's been innuendos about, well, we can solve this by coming up with $50 million somewhere else, or we can go to the statutory flow into the permanent fund and take money from that, and then we can wear out the roads today and we'll have it paid for by somebody else.
But who is this somebody else? As the chairman of appropriations said, they were saving this money because of the severance of minerals, and we are saving it because of the severance of minerals. And he could have told you and would have told you that it's for the benefit of future generations that will come after us, and the resources aren't going to be there because we've already mined them. So it's our legacy to them, and they're not here to defend themselves. Some of these people will benefit by this permanent mineral trust fund. They haven't even been born yet. So I think it's short-sighted. I think it's myopic to just say, let somebody else pay it. I don't know how many emails, messages I get, but at the end of it, I always say to myself, well, I can see their philosophy. The only good tax I like is the one the other guy has to pay. And I urge you to defeat this amendment number number one, and urge your support for the bill itself. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We've had a lengthy, maybe too lengthy, debate on this, but I do need to respond to some of the comments. My good friends in House District 40, House District 57, other legislators that have been here quite a while, we hear this every time we come up with funding for these roads in this state. They're deteriorating. We need this money. True, I want good roads just as much as the next guy. I travel a lot in the West. I see the condition of all these roads in these adjacent states. The roads coming back to Wyoming are always the best I've been on. So, yeah, I want good roads. All of us want good roads for ourselves, for our constituents, for Wyoming, the commerce in Wyoming. But I do have to respond to some of the comments. You know, good-sounding arguments versus sound arguments. You know, there's one soundbite here that's been repeated more than any, and it's that our people won't notice that 10-cent tax increase. The retailers and the wholesalers are going to absorb that. Now, does anyone buy that? I've got some land out in the Red Desert, if anyone's interested. Another comment, change of behavior. Raising this tax will change the behavior of our constituents. They'll drive less. Wow, that's really interesting. That sounds like an Agenda 21 type argument. I'm against that. I don't want to change the behavior of my constituents. We also heard that 18 groups support this bill. Great. How many of those 18 groups elected you? Not me. I got elected by the constituents in my county. That's who elected me, not the 18 groups. I'm not here representing 18 groups. I'm here representing my constituents. And you better, too. We have great roads, but the citizens of Wyoming are being killed by taxes. Federal income tax, payroll taxes, Social Security taxes, sales tax, gas tax, alcohol tax, cigarette tax, property tax, health care tax. When's it going to end? When we got it all? You know, it's just crazy. This is not simply an increase of 70% in the gas and diesel tax. This will roll through the Wyoming economy and affect every aspect of our life in Wyoming. The cost of food will go up. It gets here by truck. The cost of lumber will go up. It gets here by truck. The cost of fertilizer will go up. The cost of beef will go up. Everything used by the people of Wyoming will go up in price because of this bill if you pass it. The increase is a burden on our constituents, on Wyoming taxpayers, and I ask you to vote no.
House Bill 69, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass?
Point of order, Mr.
Sorry, Mr. Speaker, I withdraw the amendment.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Representative Zwanitzer. House Bill 69, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger excused. Blake.
No.
Blevins.
Yes.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart. Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Walters. Watt.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 35 aye, 24 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 69, having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 69 has passed the House. We are now at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 39, penalties for misdemeanor offenses, do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Connolly, Gingery, Halverson, Croker, Miller, Walters, Watt. One no vote, Representative Crone, signed by Representative Crone, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, respectfully reports, same back to the House. Your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 81, Large Project Funding, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Blevins, Davison, Freeman, Halverson, Crone, Pipirinen. Those who voted no, Representatives Gay, Hutchins, and Yagi, signed by Representative Davison, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred a House Bill 122, Alcoholic Beverages Purchases - Acceptable Identification, respectively, reports the same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representative Blevins, Davison, Freeman, Gay, Halverson, Hutchins, Yagi, Crone, and Pipirinen, Representative Davison, Chairperson. Mr. Speaker, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom is referred to House Bill 127, Driver's License - Veterans Designation, respectfully reports, same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yagi, Larson, Laux, McKim, and Dave Swanser, signed by Representative Dave Swanser, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, Military Affairs, to whom was referred to House Bill 147, Vehicle Registration Fees - Purple Heart Exemption, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blake, Blevins, Campbell, Hutchings, Yeagy, Larson, Laux, McKim, Dave Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dave Zwanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred to House Bill 108, Food Freedom Act, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Barlow, Coleman, Filer, Green, Harvey, Kasparic, Reeder, Throne, and Wilson, signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
Mr. Majority, Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move beg leave to rise and sit again at 1:30.
Any committee announcements? Mr. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I apologize. Your committee number 4 will be meeting immediately upon noon recess for consideration of House Bill 159. House Bill 174 has been withdrawn from by the sponsor.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Monday morning at 8 o'clock, room H18, to consider House Bill 61. It had been laid back. Banking Division, Nationwide Licensing System, House Bill 62, Innocent Landowner Amendments, and House Bill 56, Pollution, Wyoming Pollution Discharge Elimination System.
Representative Croker, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to point out, yesterday when we were debating House Bill 82, I raised some concerns. There is a handout being passed out right now that kind of outlines my concerns on the bill and has the facts. I wanted to give everybody a chance to look at that over the weekend before we vote on third reading on Monday.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet 10 minutes upon noon recess to finish up the following bills: House Bill 93, House Bill 94, Medication Administration by Pharmacists, and Immunization by Pharmacists. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Blickery.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, will meet Monday, January 21st, upon noon recess in room H18 to discuss House Bill 98, County Fees, House Bill 113, Regulatory Review and Rescission, and House Bill 162, Data Exchange Security.
Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet Monday at noon, and we will take up the substitute bill on House Bill 133, Human Trafficking, and then we will take up House Bill 178, Sexual Assault Disclosure, House Bill 190, Public Defender Fee Schedule and Indigency Standard, House Bill 167, Judicial Retirement Age, and House Bill 151, Uniform Trust Code Notice of Claims.
Chairman Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, will meet Monday morning at 7:30 to hear House Bill 124, Hunting Preference Points Transfer, House Bill 143, Game Roadkill, House Bill 149, State Mythical Creature.
The motion is that the House recess until 1:30 p.m. That's 1:30 p.m. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? House will be in recess until 1:30 p.m.